This is a message and a personal testimony given at the EEL Church Bergerac on Pentecost Sunday, the 23rd of May, 2021. I know many of you are wondering if there is still meaning in all that we are experiencing today. Is our church still our church? What have we lost during this pandemic? What have we gained during this pandemic? What future for our church? What mission can God give us in all of this turmoil? Do you know what I see? The persevering and sovereign work of Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, says Jeremiah in Chapter 29, verse 11. This message is a mixture of my testimony to God's provision and encouragement from the Bible. We're going to follow Abraham's journey, but I don't want you to think that I identify with him. I do, however, want you to understand that the way God provided for him and Sarah and Hagar while fulfilling his plan for his chosen people is the same way he provides for me, for Pascal, for our church, and for all his people today. My prayer is that you will grasp the meaning of Jehovah Jireh for yourselves as Christians and for the future of our church, our community. Let's read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on to the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. For Abraham, it began with a call to leave his homeland. At the end of chapter 11, we discover that Abraham is called to continue a journey that his father Terah had begun, but that stopped in Haran. For me, it began with an invitation to trust in and engage with Jesus Christ, Saviour and Lord, followed by my baptism and the beginning of a formative life with him. All of us who are spiritually born again can testify to how God revealed himself to us to the point where we could no longer resist him and invited him to take over our lives. I was a middle school language teacher in a town of 10,000 people in rural Australia, a member of a Baptist church about the same size as Bergerac. Then, God sent me to West Africa, to the Republic of Niger, for a year of short-term mission with SIM, an international mission. I taught the missionaries' children there in a missionary school in Niamey. But my journey did not end there. Nor did Abraham's, who was nomadic for years before he was allowed to settle. We know from reading chapters 12 to 15 that Abraham went to the right and to the left and that he established the contours of the land that God entrusted to him as he went along. Even after battles, Abraham refuses to take booty or bounty from the hand of another king. He does not want to owe anything to anyone, and he is confident that the Lord will give him everything he needs. He is still, however, disconcerted by the promise of descendants. Let's read that in Genesis 15, verses 1 to 4. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So my journey ended in France, where God sent me to the Bible Institute in Nogent-sur-Marne. I thought it would be a year before returning to Africa because I was convinced even then that I was called to mission. Thanks to part of an inheritance, I was able to spend a year at the Bible Institute, but I had a problem. After only 3 months at the Institute, I understood that God was calling me to stay in France to serve him and that I had to complete the 3-year degree. Very well, Lord, I understand. But like Abram, I was disconcerted. How was he going to do this? The Bible verses that encouraged me at that time were from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. So I used the return ticket to go back to Australia to consult with my family, my church, to get rid of the things, my things, because I didn't need them anymore. And then I was given the green light to return to France for the second year of study. Some people wanted to support me financially, and I had some savings, but the final confirmation came with the offer to work as an English teacher at the Institute itself, which would allow me to pay for the rest of my studies and the board and the lodging. Jehovah Jireh. God provides. My second year begins as president of the girls, and my first responsibility is to welcome the new students and direct them to their rooms. Faced with a tall, dark-haired man with an impassive type of face, I can't find the name Gerard Pascal on the list. He thinks I'm stupid, or at the very least, incompetent. My question mainly for this year is, what am I going to do after all this? I really didn't see a place for an Anglo-Saxon single woman in the French evangelical landscape. All the while, listening to God, I happily pursued my studies. It was hard, but frankly, it was fascinating. It was exciting. I was also part of the choir and a small drama group. Guess who else was in the choir too? Getting back to Genesis, in chapter 16, Sarai and Abram have tried to fulfill God's plan by giving Hagar the servant girl to Abram in order to conceive a child. And Hagar pays the price. Disrespectful towards her mistress, pregnant, and then mistreated by Sarai, she runs away to discover that she too has a God who provides even when one has misbehaved or lost her way. Chapter 16 is dedicated to Hagar. God has appeared to her and makes predictions about her unborn son and about the need to settle her relationship with Sarai. Ishmael, her son, means God hears, for the Lord has heard you in your distress. And Hagar calls God Ata El Roi, you are the God who sees me. Whether we get lost or make wrong choices, God sees us and continues to provide for us. He continues to give us what we need to come back to Him and to continue fulfilling the mission that He has provided for us. Vision, mission, provision. God's vision becomes our mission, and He provides for us to accomplish this mission. Chapter 17, Abram, eminent father, becomes Abraham, father of a multitude, and he's exhorted to be blameless, obeying God's instructions. Just in an aparte, I just want to mention that God provides these instructions to us too. They're His provision for us, not to impose them in an authoritarian way, but as a guide for us to successful living and to be able to complete the mission He gives us. Circumcision becomes the sign of this covenant. Abraham and all his descendants are now officially God's people. Still in chapter 17, verse 18, Abraham asked that his first son, Ishmael, live and prosper, and that God take care of him. Jehovah Jireh, God provides for Ishmael as well, even though he is not the promised heir. In 1992, this Pascal Girard, who had trouble finding on my list, and I got married at Nogent-sur-Marne, and we stayed in a small studio at the Institut Biblique to continue our studies. His parents helped to provide for us, and with my English lessons, some donations from the Australians, and Pascal's summer work, we managed to make ends meet. And this is where the jam story begins. One day, on our doorstep, we found a jar of homemade jam and an envelope containing 50 francs. From the start of our marriage, which now has lasted for 28 years, we have never run out of jam. That is, we've hardly ever had to buy it. Either we were given some, or we had fruit trees in our rectory garden and made our own jam. Well, this may not particularly impress you, but we understood it as a sign that God provides for our needs, however small. And yes, we have received some here in Bergerac as well. Jehovah Jireh. Getting back to the story of Abraham and Sarah, a series of extraordinary events are recounted in chapters 18 to 21. And again, the Lord gives them a message through angels. They will have a son. But then He warns that He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And a lot of other things happen in those chapters too. But we see that God provides again and again. And it comes about that the promised offspring can now come, and Isaac is born after Sarah and Abraham are reunited after she was kidnapped by another king and taken to be his wife. Jehovah Jireh. And just remember how old they really were too. Sarah was beautiful and desirable. It's all just part of the amazing story. Everything that God has says is coming true, and He provides perfectly so that His plans are fulfilled despite the human meddling. Rest assured that in my journey, Pascal never passed me off as his sister, and I was never in danger of being kidnapped by a foreign king or a Bedouin. Pascal was consecrated pastor of our denomination, the Église Évangélique Libre, and we were in Toulouse, in Béziers, in Lyon, and then in Ardèche for 10 years. My call to work in France was clearly fulfilled by becoming a pastor's wife. But just to let you know that I don't want to fulfill the cliche completely. I've never played the organ or the piano in church. However, I have done Sunday school, ladies group, hospitality, listening to and praying with people, and visiting, and so on. I supported Pascal as I could and was responsible for the three children. I witnessed about my faith to the mothers at school in an association that supports breastfeeding mothers. I created a petit bus in our children's school at Saint-Genis-Laval. I did kids clubs, all sorts of things. But at the same time, I also had to work outside the home to help financially. And God provided work for me as an English teacher in businesses and in primary schools, and that allowed me to have the same schedule and school holidays as our children. I would also like to share that at the time of our marriage, I asked the Lord to allow me to go back to Australia every 4 years, like Australian missionaries do. Because we live so far away from everywhere, we generally spend 4 years on mission and then go home for one full year of home assignment. And there too, although I was not officially a missionary at the time, God took care of us, because I have been able to go back to Australia on average every 3 years, so not even four like I asked. It's not always easy to be a foreigner in a country whose mentality and culture are different from your own, and I enjoyed my return to my roots and to see my family with our children. I also have to say that I'm actually not a Wonder Woman or Superman, and I just couldn't continue to do so much, so many things at the same time, and I wanted to get back to my missionary vocation. The International Mission SIM supported me in this desire, and I returned to Australia to find partners to support me in my own ministries, financially and prayerfully. Oh, just by the way, I am pleased to announce that the French Republic has granted me French nationality. Just this week I received my notification. So God has provided there as well. The Lord has given me an identity of my own as a missionary with my own areas of work, but also as an accredited worker for our denomination. At the beginning of my life in France, I just didn't see where a single woman could serve. And now my status is recognized by the Union, our denomination, and I see many women active in our churches and in our church here in Bergerac. We are all part of the body of Christ, or to use the image used recently, we are all men and women, young and old, the living stones of this building, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's marvel at how God has provided for his church. And we're celebrating the fact that he sent the Holy Spirit to us to equip us and call us to work, to continue the work of living the kingdom of God on earth and making disciples of all nations. I desire very much to be a living stone in the building that is the church. Because of my missionary status, I've done many things depending on the situation that I found myself in. Jehovah Jireh, he heard my cries, my desires, my heart's desire to serve in a proper way that will bear fruit. He heard about my difficulties. He listened and he answered. The Women 2000 Association, Femmes 2000, Osez l'Espérance, was one of the first answers to those prayers. There I received encouragement and good spiritual nourishment, and I actually was able to contribute to two of the books published for the conferences organized by Femmes 2000. I was invited to be part of the revitalization department in our denomination, the DEREV we call it in French. In 2014, I was invited to join them to accompany the churches in our denomination towards better spiritual and missional health. Now that is work I'm passionate about. The Vitality Pathway is a tool that I understand well. Well, I oversaw all the translations, so I do know it backwards. And I find it really helpful for our churches. The work in our DEREV is not perfect. We haven't been completely up to scratch with it, but We rejoice in how God is guiding this work and these changes in our churches. We are seeing fruit from this tool. And as I'm bilingual, I also represent France in the Euro Vitality team that keeps an eye on how the Vitality Pathway is helping free evangelical churches in Finland, Norway, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Germany, and Slovakia. It's really exciting to see God at work in a larger context. There's another answer as well, coming here to Bergerac. Obviously, there is an assessment to be made about our contribution to the life of this church, and it's too early for that. But this place and the people I meet and the dynamics and the potential of this church, even with COVID and these 14 months of chaos or change, they've all been such a gift to me and to us, Jehovah Jireh. In 2016, my calling then became to get involved in trauma counselling. I'd already done training in Christian counselling and then in trauma healing. And in 2020, the Lord gave me the role of coordinating this work of developing the network in France and in French-speaking Europe. Jehovah Jireh. Wow. I really had no intention of committing to this, but then it became obvious that I was supposed to take it on. And again, being bilingual is an important asset in this work. The Lord opened the way for the Alliance Biblique Française, which is the French equivalent to the Bible Society, to take us under its wing, and we are in the process of adapting the material to French-speaking European context. We've already facilitated healing groups, COVID modules, and trainings. And I even had a training online recently where we had people from Madagascar and from Tunisia joining us. Our network in France is designed to help churches work in this area as a ministry in an increasingly violent and complex world. God is providing so that people can find healing of body, mind, and soul. Jehovah Jireh. Back to Genesis, even when the rivalry between Sarah and Hagar reached its peak, God didn't abandon Hagar and Ishmael to their fate. He helped them to survive in the desert, and Ishmael became the great leader that God had predicted he would be. We can go astray. We can take the wrong path or make wrong choices. We can be motivated by wrong intentions. We can act in disobedience. But God does not abandon us. We cry out to him. We ask him for forgiveness. We turn back to him. He will always provide what we need. Abraham. So many journeys, so many years before this promised son arrived. So many adventures and challenges. He was not perfect. And he had to learn to trust God. Oh, the arrival of Isaac must have sealed that trust. And we will end with chapter 22 of Genesis. Was this a final test for Abraham? Probably not, but it was a test of his ability to show total obedience, which proves that God has really the first place in Abraham's heart. Verse 2, we read, "Take Isaac, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him to me as a sacrifice on one of the hills." What? A sacrifice? Sacrifice this only son that they'd waited so many years for? And this in a time when God never asked for human sacrifices. What is going on? Isaac asks Abraham, his father, the obvious question, "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And here we have one of the names of God, Jehovah Jireh. In verse 8, Abraham answers, "My son, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." And they both went on their way together. The angel stopped Abraham's hand from killing his son and showed him the ram caught in a bush. "Do not lay hands on the boy. Do not harm him, for now I know that you revere God because you didn't withhold your only son from me." Wow. Between us, I do wonder about the state of mind of Isaac after this episode. Who accompanied him to be healed of this trauma? And the angel then said, in verse 14, "Therefore it is said today, on the mountain of the Lord he will be provided for." And the angel concludes in verse 18, "All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through your descendants because you have obeyed me." And we have been blessed. Jesus was sent. The only Son of God came to earth to live and to die for us. He didn't hold back his only Son. He gave him for us all so that we could be saved. We are blessed today because Abraham revered the Lord. Let us worship the Lord our God on this mountain of total consecration. Let us dedicate ourselves fully to his plan to restore men to their relationship with him. And let's trust him, because he only wants what is good and he knows what he is asking for us. And let's rejoice to see how he provides for the fulfillment of his plan, already sealed by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit that we are celebrating today. Let us be those living stones he needs to build up his church. Praise be to Jehovah Jireh. Amen.